Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but Yahweh is the savior of the world. And once again, I praise the Most High Yah for allowing us to bring to you his great holy and exalted words. We have been dealing with, starting yesterday, the seven pillars of righteousness. And why? Because Yahweh desires his people to live. He desires his people to have salvation. He desires for them to be saved. But one cannot be saved without righteousness. And I want you to see this. Why these seven pillars of righteousness is essential and most important to those who follow after righteousness. One of the things the Creator told us, right before I show that, look in the book of Genesis. We're going to start there. Again, the seven pillars of righteousness. And we brought to you the first pillar, which is the knowledge of Elohim. And we'll recap on that a little bit so you can understand it even more. But the second pillar of righteousness is to believe in Yahweh. You must believe in Yahweh, and you're going to see why. But right before I get right into that lesson, I need to show you the importance of righteousness and how one is just impossible, totally impossible to be saved without this righteousness. This is what Yahweh looked for in the most troublous times. And you won't get no more troublous times than the time of Noah. And watch what it say about Noah in Genesis, the 6th chapter. Starting at the 8th verse. Now watch this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. In other words, this grace that he found is called favor. When somebody favor you, you my favorite. And I favor you. You must have did something real good. Now, of course, the lying doctrine of Christianity will tell you that grace came through Christ. And here we can see clearly that Christ is not even mentioned, wasn't even born, wasn't even thought about, wasn't even talked about. But yet, Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. No, he didn't need Christ for no grace. The New Testament would teach you that Christ brought grace to the earth. And that's not the truth. It's a bold-faced lie. And the mass majority of the New Testament is a lie. And the little truth in the New Testament is only to support a lie. But let us finish, since this man found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Watch what it says about this man Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. You see this? This man Noah, just, perfect, walked with Elohim. And he found grace in his eyes. And let me show you the fifth and one of the most important things about this man Noah is in Genesis the 7th chapter. This is how you know this man was very blessed. It could have just said he was a just man. But no, it said he was a just man, perfect, walked with Elohim, and found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. And why the fifth thing it says about this man Noah, Genesis 7 and 1. And Yahweh said unto Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Why is that so profound? Because that's exactly what Yahweh is looking for. He's looking for righteousness. Why do you think we're dealing with the seven pillars of righteousness? So you can find the righteousness that Yahweh is looking to save you with. And you're going to see what this righteousness is. That's Noah. That's how important righteous this is. We shared with you yesterday that I will share with you today, because ain't no sense of talking about the seven pillars of righteousness and you don't even know the significance of righteousness. Watch what it says in the book of Isaiah 42. These truths that we bring to you are justice, truth, judgment. They are your salvation. Watch what this says in Isaiah 42. 21st verse. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. That's what Yahweh will do. Why will he do it? In other words, people think the law is magnified because of them. They think it's made honorable because of them. But no, it's for Yahweh. Righteousness sake, because he is so well pleased for it, which lets you know what righteousness is. And let me show you what righteousness is. Then maybe you can really understand what these pillars, or how important these pillars are. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, And we're going to start at the 20th verse. And watch this closely. Because we're dealing with the seven pillars of righteousness, but now we're just showing you what righteousness is. How important righteousness is. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which Yahweh Elohim has commanded you? Now think about that for a second. What mean you? What is the meaning of these testimonies? What is the meaning of these statutes? What is the meaning of these judgments? You got people tell you we don't even have to keep the law. We don't have to worry about these things. They'll tell you that the testimonies of Yahweh is not even a law. These people don't know nothing. Watch what it says in the 21st verse. Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And Yahweh showed us signs and wonders, great and grievous, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our Elohim for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Now watch this, 25th verse. And it shall be a righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim as he has commanded us. This is, if we do this, this is our righteousness. So if one is not interested in doing the commandments, keeping the statutes, and the judgments, and the testimonies of the Most High, what they tell you is that they have no interest in righteousness, because that's what righteousness is. And we're dealing with the seven pillars of righteousness. Just a couple more scriptures on the importance of learning these pillars. And we brought to you the first pillar, which is the knowledge of Elohim. And we're going to get into the second pillar, which is to believe in Yahweh. And I may add, this belief in Yahweh is not like your belief in religion. People will tell you a belief is an excuse not to know, but not the belief in Yahweh. And you're going to see the difference between your vain beliefs and your belief in Yahweh, because it is definitely different. But again, watch this in the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. If you want to know anything about righteousness, these are the three men that you want to read about. And their name is Noah, Daniel, and Job. And watch what it says about these three men. 12th verse. The word of Yahweh came again to me saying, ain't that sweet? Where all you're hearing is the word of Yahweh. You're not reading and hearing a bunch of vain words, the words of men, and people try to tell a storybook off of one scripture and people try to preach to you, but you hearing the word of Yahweh. Watch what it says. Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon you and will break the staff of the bread thereof. I will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. This, if the land sins against Yahweh grievously. But watch the 14th verse. Though these three men be in the land, when it sins, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver their own souls by their righteousness, is Yahweh. So, in other words, the reason why Yahweh, Noah, Daniel, and Job, all three live at different time periods in earth. Their generations had to do nothing with each other. But what they had in common with each other is their ability to be righteous. And Yahweh will use these men as instruments of righteousness, even during a time of great trouble for all three. But look at this, the 15th verse. If I call noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it is desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Though these three men were in it, as Isaiah says, Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as Isaiah says, Yahweh, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. And what makes them so important that even if Yahweh cut off man and beast, these three men will live? Well, let's see. 19th verse. Well, if I send pestilence into the land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Because that's what Yahweh is looking for. He's looking to see the pillars of righteousness that's in you. And this is the thing. You can't fake righteousness. You can't fake nothing with Yahweh. And the reason why is because Yahweh judges the heart. He looks on the inside of you to see what you're made of and what you all about. And he knows when you're a phony, but he also knows when you are righteous. This is how important righteousness is, and this is why we're dealing with the seven pillars of righteousness. This is one more thing I want to tell you. In the book of Genesis, about righteousness, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse, and Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, go down now and see. see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Yahweh. And Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's a good question. Will you do that? Perhaps there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That would be far from you to do after this matter, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous shall be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth right? And Yahweh said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. That's how much Yahweh loved righteousness. He will spare a whole city of hundreds and thousands of people that's straight out wicked. But there's 50 righteous there. Yahweh will spare the place. Yahweh would even spare for 10 righteous, because that's how much he loved righteousness. Which brings us to the pillar of righteousness. The first pillar is the knowledge of Elohim. And I'm here to tell you, ain't no sense of thinking about righteousness without having the knowledge of Elohim. You've got to have it. It's imperative. It's essential. It is number one. Watch what it says about the knowledge of Elohim. I just want you to see this, so you can understand its significance. Since it is number one, the first pillar. In the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter, watch this. The sixth verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Here it is. We want to know why we're destroyed as a people. It's not because we don't get together. We don't build businesses together. You got all the entertainers and rappers and Black Matters. All other kind of prominent blacks coming together to make a black agenda. Black politicians running for office. But little do all them know, they can come together all they want. They can get together all they want. They can unite all they want. They can unite all their money, all the entertainers, all the football and baseball and basketball players, and all the media people, entertainers. And just put all the famous people together, put their money together, and see what happens. And let me tell you what will happen if they did this. Nothing. Nothing will happen. And why do you think they haven't done it? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't even have the knowledge to do great things that will bring a people not only together, but will free a people. That takes knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have gotten along on your Elohim, I will also forget your children. It takes knowledge for us to be successful, for us to be united and one, and not just any knowledge. It takes the knowledge of Elohim. We thought things was going to change because a million black men marched on Washington. And what has changed? Nothing. Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, it got worse. They were told to go back to their own communities and get everybody together. And men start taking care of their babies. Husbands start taking care of their wives. Professionals start working together. Blacks start supporting one another. And you see, trying to come up with a black agenda. And there's no greater agenda that you can come up with that's greater and better than the Most High. It takes knowledge, and our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Watch what it says in the book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. The 6th verse. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. This is what Yahweh desires. More than anything is mercy and the knowledge of Elohim. This is the agenda that we should be concerning ourselves with. That is the first pillar of righteousness. And we get right into the second pillar of righteousness, which is to believe in Yahweh. And as I stated before, this is not some vain belief like you have in your religions, believing that you're going to die and go to heaven. That's a fantasy. That's not even a real belief. It is a belief, but it's just a lie that people told you so that you will look not for greatness in the land of living, but you will look for greatness in some afterlife called heaven. If Yahweh wanted you to go to heaven, why in the world would he make earth? If everybody going to heaven, then what in the world is earth for? Ask yourself that. And not just in Christianity, in Islam. Here it is in Islam. They will drop a bomb to the back, run in and kill a bunch of innocent women and children and that will be a blessing on women and children they call infidels. And that will be considered a great blessing in Islam. And then they will go to the afterlife also. But instead of them going up to heaven, they will go down in the ground. Because they don't want to be with Christians, so they go down. Under the ground with water flowing with rivers of wine. I thought a Muslim don't even supposed to drink wine, but in the afterlife, their rivers are full of wine. Sitting on couches with a bunch of God virgins. How long will they be virgins? I mean, after you get one, they ain't no virgin no more. It's just madness. Total madness. That's why it's important to have the knowledge of Elohim. But let us get to the second pillar of righteousness. Because you can have all the knowledge in the world. But your knowledge is not going to mean nothing unless you believe in it. Here it is. I got no people walking around talking about praise the mighty Yah and hallelujah and praise Him and the Most High and let Yahweh be magnified. They say all these real nice exalted terms for the Most High. But when it really comes down to it, they don't believe. They're not going to believe. And the history of our people dictates they're not going to believe. I'm saying all we got to do is read our history. And the vast majority of our people didn't believe. Only a remnant, only a select few, only those that were truly committed to Yahweh. And what do you think the word belief means? It comes from the Hebrew word aman, which means committed. It means you're sure. And the most important thing it means is that you are established. And let me show you this. In the book of 2 Chronicles. It's good to have all that knowledge. It's essential to have all that knowledge. But if you don't believe, all that knowledge is in vain. Watch this in the book of 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. And they arose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Yehuda, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh, your Elohim. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper." So do you see? You see what it means to believe in Yahweh? To believe in Yahweh is to be established. And what do the word established mean? That means you're permanent. That means you're steadfast. That means you won't move. You believe in Yahweh. You're established. And this is what Yahweh will do if you believe in him. Because he's going to give you knowledge. But then he's going to test you with that knowledge. Let me show you one of the tests Yahweh put on a man to see how much he believed in him. Show a couple of scriptures. One is in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 15th chapter. Starting at the very first verse. After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your exceedingly great reward." And Abraham said, "Yahweh, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me ye have given no seed. And look, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, "This shall not be your heir, but he shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, he had no interest in counting nothing. If Yahweh stated that his seed shall be the stars of heaven, then he believed it. And since he believed it, and let me tell you, Yahweh judged heart. So there was no way to trick Yahweh. And Yahweh counted this thing as righteousness. And watch what else this same man would do. It was really a miracle. It was something that I don't know how many people could have done this. And it's in the book of Genesis 22. Because we're talking about the second pillar of righteousness. And it is your belief in Yahweh. And see, what our people don't believe, see, a lot of people think they got knowledge today. And that's good. But then, once you get to the second pillar, then this one, a real test comes. Because Yahweh is going to test, he's going to see if you believe in him. If you believe in Yahweh. And he's going to know, even way before you get to the third pillar of righteousness, the fourth pillar of righteousness, and so forth and so on. The second pillar of righteousness, he will know. Watch this, Genesis 22 and 1. And it came to pass after these things that Elohim did tempt Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell you of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which Elohim had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, Elohim will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. They came to the place which Elohim had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of Yahweh called to him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything to him. For now I know that you fear Elohim, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You see what your belief in Yahweh will do? You see how Yahweh will test your beliefs? And Abraham passed with flying colors. With flying colors. And Yahweh is already prepared to test all of our beliefs in him. Even tested Moses. And according to the scriptures, Moses was the most faithful man in Yahweh's house. And let me show you that in the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter. In the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, the first verse. "And Aaron spoke against Moshe because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, 'Has Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moshe? Has he not spoken also by us?' And Yahweh heard it." That man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh spoke suddenly to Moses, to Aaron, to Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the congregation." They three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known to him in a vision, and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the likeness of Yahweh shall he behold. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe?" This is how faithful, meek, good this man was, that Yahweh would even come to this man in a vision, would never speak to him in a dream, he speaks to this man face to face, even apparently, not in dark speeches. But even he was tested. Because it don't matter how great you are, Yahweh is going to test you. He's going to see what's in your heart. And look how he tested Moses in the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter. Seven verse. Let's start at the first verse, because I want you to hear this story. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. Look, just let it not be no water and see how foolish people start acting. Let it be no food and see how people start acting. And they gathered themselves together against Moshe and against Aaron. And the people strove with Moshe and spoke, saying, with Elohim, that we had died when our brethren died before Yahweh? And why have you brought up the congregation of Yahweh into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? And why have you made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of feed or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Man, you brought us to this desert. What kind of sense is that? What kind of leader are you? And you brought us to this desert, and we hid everything in Egypt. And Moses and Aaron went forth from the presence of the assembly of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to them. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, take the rod and gather you the assembly together, you and Aaron, your brother, and speak you to the rods before their eyes. And they shall give forth water. And it shall give its water. And you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. So you shall give the congregation and their beasts drink. See what he told Moses? He said, just take the people, bring them, gather them together, and speak you to the rock before they are. Let's see what Moses did. Ninth verse. And Moses took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moshe lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he spoke the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Yahweh spoke to Moshe and Aaron. Watch what he said to him. Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, you should not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with Yahweh, and he was sanctified in them. This great man Moses cannot go to the promised land because, for one second, for one moment he didn't believe in Yahweh. Yahweh told him to speak to the rock. But yet, he smote him. Now do you see why we must seek righteousness? Now do you see why we must know the seven pillars of righteousness? Now do you see how important righteousness is? It is righteousness that delivers from death. This is what we got to know. Also, watch this. In the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the first verse. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem toward it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. In other words, you got a foreign nation that confederated with Ephraim, which was the house of Israel, against the house of David. This was a total abomination. And his heart was moved, talking about Ahaz, and the heart of his people. As the trees of the woods are moved in the wind, they were in great fear because their own people are now with the enemy. Watch what Yahweh say. Third verse. Then said Yahweh unto the prophet Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, you and Yahshua, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper room in the highway of the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger, Rezin and Syria, and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, let us go up against Yehuda in distress, and let us make a breach therein for us, and they're the king in the midst of it, even the son of Tobiah. Thus says Yahweh, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. That's why Yahweh told Ahaz, don't fear it, because Yahweh ain't going to stand for it anyway. It's not going to come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, now what's that, 65 years, shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. Yes. In other words, Yahweh was going to do something with Ephraim anyway. And watch what it says. Ninth verse. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, watch this, surely you shall not be established. And we have a lot of non-believers in our community. We have a lot of non-believers in our nation. We have a lot of non-believers in our congregation. And as a result of having these non-believers, Yahweh says, it's only going to be a remnant. A remnant. Watch what it says. Moreover, Yahweh spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask you for a sign from Yahweh your Elohim. Ask it either in the death or in the night above. Just ask me a sign so I can show you what I'm telling you is the truth. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yahweh. And he said, well, here you now, house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary man? But will you weary my Elohim also? Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And I read that whole story on purpose so you can see for yourself that this story had nothing to do with Christ at all. It had nothing to do with some birth that happened in the New Testament that never happened in the New Testament. That whole story in the New Testament is a total fiction. And as we read the story, it said nothing about some virgin being born 2,000, 4,000, 3,000 years later. This prophecy will take place within 65 years. 65 years. 60 and 5. And I may add, when it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive, they just put the word virgin, but really, this Hebrew word means young lady or maid, shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. Yahweh shall bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Yehuda, even king of Assyria. See, Yahweh did that. But what's the point? The point is, if they didn't believe, Yahweh says, surely they will not be established. And you want to be established. And to be established, you have to believe. Furthermore, let me just show you a couple other scriptures of a test. And I just want you to understand, Yahweh is going to test his people. You will be tested. Many of you are being tested as we speak, but you will be tested. Watch this in the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter. in the book of Daniel, the chapter, we're going to start reading. The first verse. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which shall be over the whole kingdom. And watch this. And over these three, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts to them. And the king shall have no damage. And as Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole reign, everything. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. And here come the test. But they can find no occasion nor fault. For much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his Elohim. Then the president and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any Elohim or man for 30 days, except you. And why 30? Because they knew 30, that's what a month was, 30 days. They knew that. That's all the scriptures talk about. O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing of the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his Elohim as he did before. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and made supplication before his Elohim. Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of Elohim or man within 30 days, except of you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? Then king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Yehuda, regards not you, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, your Elohim, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. And a stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the demon, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his masters, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. So why would he fast? He taking a page out of what we do as Israelites. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice to Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living Elohim, is your Elohim, who you serve, continually able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My Elohim sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his Elohim. And that's what we're talking about. The seven pillars of righteousness. The second pillar, which is belief in Yahweh. Because Yahweh is going to test your belief. He's going to see what's in your heart. And the king commanded. And they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and broke all their bones in pieces wherever they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I have to decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the Elohim of Daniel, for he is the living Elohim and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. This is what Yahweh will do. And watch this 27th verse. He delivers and rescues, and works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So does Daniel prosper in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now do you see the type of belief that you have to have in Yahweh and why? Because you have all the knowledge in the world. But if you don't believe, you will not be established. And Yahweh wants you to be established. Here we are in the last day. And we told the people that we have proposed through the Spirit of Yahweh, that we must fast, that we should fast 40 days 40 nights. This is what the righteous did in the scriptures. This is what the holy men close to Yahweh would do. And why would we propose to do this thing? For Yahweh has prophesied evil upon the world or the inhabitants of the earth and his people. For Yahweh is angry with his people and has a controversy with the inhabitants of the earth. And Yahweh said he will return with this great anger, this fierce anger. And he told us to gather ourselves together before the decree moving forth, before the chaff passes the wind, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you. And so we said, let us fast together. Let us unite in a great fast to Yahweh. 40 days and 40 nights. For Yahweh is justified in his anger. We will start our fast on November the 9th, and then we will do 40 days. And then after the 40 days, we will begin our 40-night fast. And I think that will be around December the 20th or the 21st, around that time. We will start our night fast. And why do I bring this up right now? Because Yahweh will test our people. And I want you to see what your belief in Yahweh will do. In the book of Jonah, the third chapter, look what this says. I want you to see it. The first verse, Jonah 3:1. And the word of Yahweh came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah didn't go to the king. He didn't go to the prince. He didn't go to the bailiff. He didn't go to no counselor. Jonah went in the streets of Nineveh and cried out and let them know that in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And watch the fifth verse. I want you to see what the people did who wasn't even Israelites. Jonah 3:5. So So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And how long do you think they fasted? You think they fasted 1 or 2 days? No, because they were going to be overthrown in 40 days. And I can assure you, they fasted that long. Watch what it says. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily to Elohim. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Elohim will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And Elohim saw their works. He saw what they was doing, that they turned from their evil way. And Elohim repented of the evil that he had said that he would do to them, and did it not. See what your belief in Yahweh will do? In other words, they believed that Yahweh was going to overthrow their city, just like Jonah prophesied. And here it is, we're telling you that Yahweh is returning with his anger, and Yahweh is justified in his anger, and he has a controversy with the inhabitants of the earth and his people. What do you think Yahweh will propose to do in his fierce anger? Well, what we propose is to do what they did in the scriptures. Believe in Yah, the second pillar of righteousness. You cannot be established without believing in Yahweh. It's essential. You can't skip it by no stretch of the imagination. And all the holy men had that in common. They believed in Yahweh. Surely, some of them slipped, as you will. But Yahweh know your heart. He weighed your heart. He weighed the spirits. Because Yahweh go deep to see if you believe in him. And let me tell you, this is the law. This is the law. Watch this in the book of Deuteronomy 13. Watch what this says. The first verse. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass wherever he spake to you, saying, let us go after other deities, what you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dream of dreams. For Yahweh your Elohim proves you, he tests you to know whether you love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after Yahweh your Elohim and fear him and keep his commandments, obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cling to him. And no matter who will try to entice you to go against Yahweh, don't believe him. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me your way, Yahweh. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies. For false witnesses has risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted. In other words, I'd have been out. I've been lost my mind. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. When you believe in Yahweh, you're not worried about your enemies. Wait on Yahweh. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. Yahweh will strengthen you. Yahweh will build you. You don't have to fear nothing when you believe in Yahweh. But if you fear, you go to Yahweh. And you let Yahweh fight your battles. In the last scripture, this is what you want to say, this is what you want to do, and this is the bottom line. In the book of Psalms 119, in the book of Psalms 119, verse 66. And this is what it says. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed in your commandments. Believe in your commandments. And to believe in Yahweh commandments, to believe in Yahweh, is your righteousness. It is the second pillar of righteousness. And this is the pillar that will establish you until tomorrow. Yahweh loves you, and so do I. Shalom.
but my lovers will prefer this to be burned. So now it's time to return back to y'all. I see the rescue, the fountains of living waters. This shower's leaving righteousness, restores my order, and turns this song to a king. A song for my soul to sing that brought me down very low. My garments fight like the wing. Shaddaya, praise be the Most High that brought me out of insanity, crushed the towers of vanity, and made a man of me. I'm now asking for a key, no longer my refugee. I'm now y'all planet.
We don't watch the streets, we don't drink, we don't sleep, we don't run the streets, we don't watch the streets, we don't watch the streets, we don't drink, we don't sleep, we don't run the streets, run the streets.
1,000 meters rough, measure water came to you. That method did repeat. Waters came right to your knee. Before you further joke, groins, waters came to your loins. 1,000 mentions and the last, a river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of your fish left to swim. There was meat from the trees, nourished bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Water flow on top of sanctuary. My heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul until we make it home. Foolishness forever gone. Got spirit resting on my bones. Brothers and sisters, you with me. Let's first us really quickly make up those solace to spit me. So we come.
Come on, nigga.